From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the truth. And no, I'm not the David McKenzie who is currently tied for sixth place at the Volvo China Open Golf Tournament, not even related to my knowledge. Here's how some of the world is treating itself today. First off, from the email bag of my friend Donna Ross at Chrysalis Mission in Kansas City. Today is the 13th annual Day of Silence, a student-devised, student-led movement in which gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and straight allies intentionally choose not to speak while in school today, to reflect the silence that many LGBT-identified youth feel is imposed upon them by students, faculty, administrations, parents, even society, as they simply try to find their dignity in the pursuit of their educations. Thousands of middle school, high school, college, and university classes will have students who participate today, some with solid support of their institution, some with tolerant support, and some with resolute antipathy for the cause. And yes, the hate industry twists its knickers into several knots over the day's message and the manner in which it is conveyed. Honor the courage and determination of these amazingly powerful young members of our society as they speak for justice, fairness, and equality in the words of their silence. Later today, many communities will be holding a Break the Silence rally in which these same students will finally be heard aloud, stating their pride, joy, frustrations, and hope. It is a hope for us all. Here's an interesting story from GossipBoy.com. On April the 6th, gay Norman, Oklahoma resident Keith Kimmel went to the Fusion Tag Agency to renew his car license plates. While there, he decided to look into obtaining a personalized license plate. He later called an employee of the tag agency and was told that "I'm gay," one of his choices for the personalized license plate, is on a list of prohibited words and or phrases that the state of Oklahoma does not allow on their license plates. Kimmel then went to the Oklahoma Tax Commission's headquarters on North Lincoln Boulevard in Oklahoma City and asked them why "I'm gay" would not be allowed, but "gay" and "queer," his other two choices, would. The teller got a supervisor who went upstairs presumably to check with his supervisor and returned with a denial letter and attachments. They again told him that he could appeal the decision by sending a letter requesting a hearing. The gay man was soon told his request had been denied pursuant to an OTC promulgated rule which states no special license plate will be issued which may be offensive to the general public. A copy of that denial letter is located at gayokplate.com. As it is unlikely that "I'm" is controversial, clearly the state agency and their employees, charged with deciding what the entire state feels about a word, thinks that the word "gay" is offensive. A review of the state's non-offensive content policy reveals that nowhere does it appear to designate exactly what is or is not offensive. A call to the OTC office proved futile as no one was willing to discuss just who is empowered to determine what is offensive and on what basis they decided something is offensive. God has no borders, and the 20-foot-tall wall between Arizona and Mexico is not in line with God's intentions for humanity, according to the Reverend Seth Polly, vicar of Episcopal parishes in Bisbee and Douglas, Arizona. To call attention to border and immigration issues, Polly, 46, has organized a border procession that will begin at 1 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, at St. Michael Catholic Church, 2090 West Martinez Street in Naco, Arizona, about 5 miles west of Bisbee. This is the fourth such march since 2005, and the event sometimes has drawn more than 100 people. Those who take part are standing up for decent, humane treatment of migrants who come to the United States from Mexico, Polly says. We want to show the citizens of Mexico who try to cross the border that not all Americans view them with hostility. We want to treat them like neighbors. When the events first started, Polly said marchers on each side of the wall would walk parallel to one another for about a mile, then meet and have a meal together when the wall ended. Now the wall is too long to do so. Instead, U.S. marchers cross the border at Naco and have a meal with residents of Naco, Sonora. The Reverend Kirk Smith, Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Arizona, will take part and will speak on the Mexican side of the border. In a ceremony on the Mexican side, a mock wall made of chicken wire and wood will be laid down peacefully as a symbol of the hope that the wall between the U.S. and Mexico someday will fall. British comedian Sacha Baron Cohen has incurred the wrath of a U.S. politician after tricking the congressman into appearing in his new movie, Bruno. Ron Paul, the former Republican and Libertarian Party candidate for president, was left fuming last summer when the funny man conned him into a seduction scene with his gay fashion journalist character named Bruno. Paul admits that the star lured him into an interview by claiming to be a financial reporter and then disrobed in front of the startled politician. He only went public with his outrage this week after seeing himself featured in a trailer for the upcoming film. The United States welcomes as an overture an offer of wide-ranging talks from Cuban President Raúl Castro, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said this morning. Castro says Cuba is open to talks with the United States about everything, including political prisoners. Castro made the statement in an impassioned speech to a meeting of leftist leaders in Venezuela on the anniversary of the failed Bay of Pigs U.S.-led invasion of Cuba in 1961. Human rights, press freedom, political prisoners, everything, everything, everything they want to talk about, he said, insisting only that the talks be on equal terms and without challenging Cuba's sovereignty. The BBC reports that an early recording of Britain's Got Talent contestant Susan Boyle singing Cry Me a River for a charity event has emerged on the internet. Her version of the ballad was included on the Music for a Millennium celebration disc in 1999. Just 1,000 copies of that CD were funded by the Whitburn Community Council. Ms. Boyle, from Blackburn, Scotland, has become a worldwide sensation after her voice stunned judges on the TV talent show. Around 20,000 people have already viewed the early recording on YouTube. So far, over 19 million have watched her rendition of I Dreamed a Dream from Les Miserables on Saturday's show. Even with some radio stations hurting for advertising, infidelity ads crossed the line for one station in Salt Lake City. Ads for the Toronto-based Ashley Madison agency were yanked from KXRK only a few hours after they were beginning to air. The president of the station, Craig Hansen, heard them on the Radio from Hell morning show, according to the Salt Lake Tribune newspaper. The Ashley Madison agency also bought ads on KZZQ, where they are still running. The Ashley Madison agency, which hopes to buy airtime on other radio TV stations and billboards in Utah, claims to have over 3 million members in North America who are either married or in relationships and looking to hook up with someone other than their significant other, and they claim a growing Utah membership. It has successfully bought radio ads in other markets and heavily on Howard Stern's Sirius satellite radio channels internationally, although at least some local stations have pulled those schedules. The same digital technology that a Boston-area predator has used to rob two women and kill another under the guise of seeking a hotel room massage may help for police to track him down. Police believe a young and clean-cut blonde man spotted on hotel surveillance videos is using ads for massage services posted on the internet site Craigslist to victimize the women in hotels. After one robbery and a murder in two luxury Boston hotels, police believe the same man is behind the Thursday night robbery of a woman at a Holiday Inn Express in Warwick, Rhode Island. The three crimes have occurred in little more than a week. All three women advertised masseuse services on Craigslist. Obituaries for two sportscasters of note today. Merle Harmon, the St. Louis native who started his broadcasting career with the minor league Topeka Owls, was perhaps best known in Milwaukee as the last voice of the Milwaukee Braves before they moved to Atlanta, and the first voice of the Milwaukee Brewers when they came to town from Seattle. When Major League Baseball moved the Seattle Pilots to Milwaukee shortly before the 1970 season, Harmon was hired to do the play-by-play and was joined a year later by a young Bob Uecker, who still has the job. In 1979, Harmon signed a deal with NBC and called the World Series in 1980. Replaced by Bob Costas in 1982, Harmon signed on with the Texas Rangers and broadcast their games until his retirement in 1989. Merle Harmon was 82 years old when he died earlier this week from complications stemming from pneumonia in a Texas hospital. And Les Keiter, who spent 50 years as a sportscaster but is probably best remembered for his three imaginative summers in a Manhattan radio studio recreating San Francisco Giants baseball games for abandoned fans from the Polo Grounds years, died on Tuesday in Kailua, Hawaii. He was 89 years old. When the Giants and the Dodgers left New York City for San Francisco and Los Angeles in 1959, Keiter was the sports director of WINS, broadcasting Knicks basketball and Giants football games, and doing pregame and postgame Yankee baseball broadcasts. As Keiter told in his 1991 memoir, 50 Years Behind the Microphone, the owner of WINS, J. Elroy McCaw, asked him to do recreations of Giants or Los Angeles Dodgers home games. "Listen, Elroy, you've got to be out of your mind," Keiter responded. But McCaw persisted, and Keiter chose the Giants, which had Willie Mays and a host of talented young players, over the then-aging Dodgers. During the 1959 season, Keiter's recreations were heard by an average of 300,000 listeners in the New York area. The Giants finished third in the National League that year, while the Dodgers were surprise pennant winners. And Jack McCoy, 72, a stock car driver who won a record 54 races in the 1960s and 70s in NASCAR's West Coast Regional Series, died on Tuesday. In 1966 and 1973, McCoy won series championships in the minor circuit known over the years as either the Winston West or the Grand National West. He finished second in 1969, 70, and 71. Known for driving Dodges, usually painted purple, McCoy retired from racing in 1974. He was inducted into the West Coast Stock Car Hall of Fame in 2002, a year after he wrote about his exploits in the book Racing's Real McCoy. One of the colorful stories that he told was about racing from New York to California in the illegal Cannonball Baker Memorial Sea to Shining Sea Trophy Dash in 1975, the inspiration for several movies of the period, including the Gumball Rally and the Cannonball Run movies. And French author Maurice Drouin, a fighter for France's World War II resistance movement and writer of one of its anthems, has died of cardiovascular problems. He was 90. Born in Paris on April the 23rd, 1918, Drouin joined the movement against France's Nazi wartime occupiers in his mid-20s and co-wrote The Partisan's Song. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one more thing today, also related to driving. A Salem, Massachusetts driving instructor who police say was drunk while giving someone a driving lesson can stay out of jail but will lose his license for a year. Daniel Winsky was convicted yesterday of operating under the influence while giving a lesson from the passenger seat of the car. He was sentenced to 18 months probation, but won't be a licensed driver for 1 year. Winsky was not behind the wheel during the December 2007 lesson in Ipswich, but prosecutors say that he was in control of the passenger side brakes in the specially fitted car and also moved the wheel during the lesson. Police pulled Winsky over shortly after a convenience store clerk smelled alcohol on its breath, then saw him enter the auto school's car. Winsky claimed that he was not drunk during the lesson. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until Monday, have yourselves some peace and oranges.